afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. I'm Melody Cederstrom, and you're listening to Financial Survival. And I am very pleased to have Beth Ann from CSC Talk Radio joining me today to co-host. Dave Allen filled in yesterday for Butch Paul. We're kind of playing, what was that game you used to play around the chairs, with co-hosts?
Musical chairs
with co-hosts.
Oh, does that mean you want me to sing? What do you mean, musical co-host?
Well, you can, but...
Oh, Todd, where's the music? it's good to be here.
Yes, thank you for joining us, and I want to tell the listeners it's Friday, October 12th, 2018, and they're going to get our opinion and commentary on today's economic and the political events, and there's lots of them out there.
Oh, lots of political events, that's for sure.
Yes. First, let's get started. Let me do the market report.
Absolutely.
And we have gold today. After the big day yesterday, up $30, gold did take a little bit of a breather today, down $6.20 at $1,218. Silver was up 3 cents today at $14.70. Platinum was down 2, $842. And palladium was down $13 at $1,072. And the USDX today, of course, was stronger, 0.21 at 95.25. Crude oil gained 72 today, 0.72 at 71.69. And the paper markets today, they did have a little bit of a, of course, there was profit, not profit taken, but buying on the dips. And that's what these people are trained to do, buy on the dips. And they had some nifty dips to take advantage of, temporarily anyway. The Dow was up 282 points, 25,335, up a little over 1%. The NASDAQ was up a little over 2.25%, 7,496, up 167. The S&P was up 1.42%, 2,767, and that was up 38 points. The 10-year yield, 3.14%. So, if we look at the beginning of the week, it was 3.23, 3.24, and so it had a big week, a big drop in the yield. And, of course, so we have to look to that 3.25 level. It seems that's what the markets couldn't take. European and Asian markets, let's see what we got there. If anything, overnight, Hong Kong had a big market up 2%. Everybody else was pretty much both in London, Germany were fairly unchanged. Japan was barely unchanged. And considering the damage that Japan took the past couple of days, just to be up 0.5%. That wasn't a real strong turnaround. Let's see, what else do we have here, ladies and gentlemen? Well, I was talking about extreme fear, and we were down at the 7-8 levels. Well, it did move up to 10, so we're still in that extreme fear as far as what's leading the index and the fear and greed index. Bitcoin didn't move anything today, so... So we had a nice week in gold and silver prices, and we'll just have to see how next week turns out. Beth, we had there was one other report I just wanted to share briefly. We did have the October consumer sentiment that fell shy of expectations, but confidence in economic policy is at a 15-year high. This is from the University of Michigan's survey, found that the American confidence in the U.S. economic policy is at that 15-year high. The preliminary reading for October hit 99, and they were expecting 100.4. September's reading was 100.1, so it slipped a little bit in early October. I mean, we're still, as far as I'm concerned, in early October, but we'll see how this continues out. There were two other things. We're gonna talk about a neat little story, Beth. We're gonna talk about treasure.
Oh yes,
gold treasure.
It's the season, you know. We do a lot of treasure hunts in the fall, you know, just around the October, Halloween, and all that. They have a lot of treasure hunts and such going on. But this is actually an article that hit our paper here in mid-Missouri, and it's something that happened there in Philadelphia, where you used to live in that area. Well, maybe not in this area, but in Philadelphia. But in Pennsylvania, I should say. Pennsylvania. But it's treasure hunters that they kind of got started. They had another business, and then they decided to fall into treasure hunting. It says here that decades ago, when a tale of lost Civil War gold turned Dennis Parada from a furniture salesman into a treasure hunter. He pointed at a 1969 Corvette toward a steep mining road and drove up into the wild. So I don't know if evidence is the correct word, rumors and a treasure map. They had done a lot of investigating, and they found there was a story of gold that was lost during the Civil War, and the Union had lost it. So it was federal money, and it's in the Elk County area there of Pennsylvania.
I just want to say something about that. The place was actually in Dent's Run, Pennsylvania, and it's in northern Pennsylvania. And actually, my family has a hunting camp in a small little town called Benazet, and which is in that same area. And in fact, this Dent's Run is just basically down the road a little bit, and it's a beautiful area. They relocated elk to this area, and it, actually this time of the year, it was always like the week or two before Halloween, we used to go up to Benazet, and well, they still do, but I don't, but for the elk.
Awesome. You know, well, Benazet Township, yeah. Pennsylvania, mm-hmm. is where this article is actually coming from.
Mm-hmm.
And so anyway, they I don't know how long to drag this out to tell all the details or just give it flat out, but they ended up with lots of equipment. Through the years, they had got equipment that they could detect what was under the ground and this kind of thing, you know, a little better than a little counter, you know, that we would get, you know. And they were fairly certain that they found this treasure, but they weren't going to be allowed to dig because of the Department of Conservation and Natural Resources wasn't going to let them dig there. It was public land, but you couldn't dig. So they had no... So they decided they would go to the authorities, and they did, and they figured it would just drop right there. But the very next day, they got a call, and the FBI was going to do the dig. And they hired an excavating group that came in there and did the dig. Now, they told this gentleman that he would be allowed to watch this dig. He and his son are the, they now have a, I circled it, finders, keepers is their company. But they didn't let him watch the dig. They made him stand way back where they could not see what was going on. And according to the article that was in our local newspaper, when they allowed them to dig, when they were doing the digging, they dug, I guess, all day. And they just got barely away from what they were going to dig up. And the guy decided to shut it down for the night. FBI guy. We'll just shut it down for the night. And the guy says, well, you're just like... feet from it. Why aren't you going to go ahead and dig? Well, it's late. We're going to just come back in the morning and dig. So that's what took place. But in the morning when they came back, they had already dug, and they told them there's nothing there. But stories from people that were
neighbors
who lived close said there were helicopters and there was digging and noise going on and trucks going in and out all night long. So, was there nothing there, or did somebody in the FBI steal it, or did somebody from the excavating crew come in there and take it? When they finally got down there, the FBI or whoever it was that also was checking the ground for if anything was underneath there, it was bigger than what they thought it was originally. So, you know, there's all kinds of conspiracy theories as to what happened to it, but there you go. What do you think? It's a good story, I think. It's a great story.
It really is. And it's interesting because I don't know if the details are here. I mean, it was I was trying to find out exactly where the money was and why it went through that part of the country. They were trying to move it quietly. And as the story goes, it was around the 1863 Battle of Gettysburg. And the Union Army had sent a shipment of gold from Wheeling, West Virginia, to Philadelphia. And the wagon train took a circuitous route through the wilds of northern Pennsylvania just to avoid the Confederate troops. And, of course, along the way, the gold was either lost or stolen. And this was actually reported by the Elk County Historical Society, mm-hmm. saying that they believe that the gold is, they thought it was just an old wives' tale. But usually there's always something to those old wives' tales, you know. It's there's a lot of people who believe that the gold was there and the government took it.
And they believe that it was gold and silver. And they thought it was 26 bars of gold. And then I think later in this article, it says there was more than that, that possibly there was 52 bars of gold. And then later in this article, it said, I'm trying to find it. I circled too many things, and then I can't get back to find what I really circled. But it had gold and silver. And he says, I know they found gold. This is the resident, Cheryl Elder, in that area. I know they found it, and they're being sneaky. But it says Paradis even mentioned that a Russian plane carrying 9 tons of gold and silver bars lost some of its cargo over Siberia a day after the Dent's Run excavation ended. It also said on Monday the Dent's Run site appeared grown over and invasive with invasive grasses, with little evidence there had even been a dig there. And Dennis and all of his equipment, all the readings that he had were for gold for years, now came back empty. And so something was there and taken out. What it was, I guess we don't know, but something was there and taken out. He says, all the equipment I took back up there, and there's nothing. There's no readings, there's nothing. But there was something before the FBI dug.
So, my question is, why would you go to the authorities?
Well, they were trying to, they said that the Department of Conservation there wasn't going to let them dig. Told them they couldn't dig. They could not get permission to dig, so they went to the authorities to get permission. And, of course, the FBI, bing, 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 they got permission immediately and hired an excavation company, and they started the dig pretty quick. Hmm. So,
moral of the story is, if you find a treasure, you dig at night when no one's around.
and don't use the helicopters.
And don't use the helicopters. You know.
Oh my God.
If you find something, then you have proof that something was there. And, you know, if they fine you, well, then you'll have enough money to pay your fines. But that's an interesting story. And I don't know if there'll ever be any follow-up on that, or it'll just be I'll have to ask my family if they heard any rumors, since they'll be going up there this weekend. So,
oh, you will? Okay.
Not me, but my family.
Oh, they will be. Oh, okay.
Either this weekend or next weekend they go up. So we'll see if they have anything. So it's a beautiful area. And
it looks like it from the pictures in this article. It looks like it's just a gorgeous area.
Yeah. Well, now back to a little more reality. Nearly half of the middle class Americans face a slide into poverty as they're entering their retirement. Now, this was a recent study by the Schwartz Center for the Economic Policy Analysis at the New School had concluded. The risk has been driven by depressed earnings, depressed asset values, and increased health care costs, causing 74% of Americans planning to work past traditional retirement age. And, well, that might be good too, but additionally, both private and public pensions plans have been allowed to become seriously underfunded. And we talk about that all the time on this. And, the question was, what can be done? Fundamental changes in the structure of the U.S. economy, combined with increased healthcare costs, lack of savings. Mm-hmm. They've created this financial trap for millions of American workers that are heading into retirement. Roughly 40% of Americans who are considered middle class, and this is based on their income levels, will fall into poverty or near poverty by the time they reach age 65. The study also concluded that if workers age 50 to 60 decide to retire at age 62, 8.5 million of them are projected to fall below twice the federal poverty level, with retirement incomes below $23,000 for singles and $31,000 for couples. Further, 2.6 million of those 8.5 million downwardly mobile workers and their spouses will have incomes below the poverty level, $11,000 for an individual, $15,000 for two persons household. And so it's like, you know, here you have, and this is based on, you know, a good stock market. you know, I don't know exactly, you know,
what is the income considered to be middle class? What is that range?
I don't know. I couldn't tell you, Ralph, that
because I think they change it every once in a while.
They do. Well, they do because they change the poverty level because it reflect inflationary numbers. But so more than 20% of the workforce in the United States is 55 or older. This is a historic high. And we know this percentage is expected to increase, and 74% of Americans now say they plan to work past traditional retirement age. So,
well, there's an awful lot of retirement people that have gone back to work just to have something to do. I think they need to supplement the income. They just don't have enough to, you know, to carry on with life, you know.
And absolutely. Yesterday, yesterday we talked about Social Security, that they're getting a raise in 2019. It's a whole $39 a month, and I assure you that's not going to offset any increases in maybe gasoline, power, health care.
I was going to say health care. That's a healthcare. Big one with that.
Yep. So, you know, it's just not going to work. And of course, you know, something happens to their pension plans. We know they're all underfunded. They've been and so any changes in that, and it's just like we live in a world, you know, you have, it's like, does everybody live in poverty? Are we, this whole nation seems to be, a large portion of it is living in poverty based on the numbers that they provide anymore. And it's, I don't know.
And the slight increase in some of the salaries, that's why it is so big and so huge. And the fact that they've got, you could call it crumbs, and, you know, it's not a whole lot that they've gotten back. But when you're living on the edge like that, any penny you get is a penny, and you're thankful for it. That just tells you what slavery we're in.
And we're heading into a break right now, ladies and gentlemen. We'll be right back. You're listening to Melody and Beth.
Since the beginning of the United States, kings have sought it, nations have fought for it. It has been traded, borrowed, purchased, and stolen. There is a reason for it. To secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity, invest with the security of gold and silver. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Listen to Financial Survival with your host, Melody Cederstrom, on Shortwave Radio. Visit DiscountGoldAndSilverTrading.net or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. For the very best in gold and silver trading, call toll-free 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Call now.
Melody Cederstrom and CSE Talk Radio team up as Common Sense Voices of Integrity. I personally endorse Melody Cederstrom to be your trusted go-to expert for all your precious metal needs. Experts agree a financial crisis and even collapse is inevitable. Given our government's lack of economic leadership and self-interests of those in power, it's no longer a question of if you should purchase gold and silver, but if you will purchase gold and silver before it's too late. Melody encourages you to tune in each weekday morning. Visit CSE Talk Radio. CommonSenseVoicesOfIntegrity.com. We both agree truth and education are the two significant factors in both our missions. There is a wealth of misinformation out there. Let Melody and Beth Ann help you sort through the chaos and bring you home to the truths that will ensure that you and your family are protected. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading, 1-800-375-4188, or online at dgscoins.com. Melody and Beth Ann are strong forces together working to preserve liberty and bring America home.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. You're listening to Financial Survival, brought to you by Discount Gold and Silver Trading. 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Please visit our website at dgscoins.com, dgscoins.com. And, of course, there you can sign up for our weekly newsletter. And you can also listen to these programs live at 4 p.m. Eastern Time. If you're listening now, we are live. And we're having a little bit of a light Friday, certainly an emotional financial roller coaster, particularly if, you know, you're invested in paper and you're invested in gold, and it was one to take note. So it's very nice to have Beth joining me today, and we're just, you know, a little bit lighter than usual for today. And I just want to talk a little more financial. We'll go in and out of finances here, but today Treasury Secretary Mnuchin, and I'm not a fan of Mnuchin, you know.
I know you're not. I remember when he got appointed, you, oh my God.
Oh my God. Well, and Larry Kudlow, I'm not a fan.
Yeah, you're not a fan of him either.
You know, we call him my BFF. You know, best friends forever, Larry Kudlow. But anyway, Steve Mnuchin, the Treasury Secretary, said he's not worried about China selling U.S. Treasuries in retaliation over trade. He says if they decide they don't want to hold them, he says there are other buyers. And it's like, well, who are they, Steve? Who are these other buyers of our treasuries? And we all know, we've speculated that China could hit back at the U.S. Tariffs by selling a huge chunk of the more than $1 trillion of U.S. Treasury bonds that they hold. And so he said he's not worried. He says they're looking at economics, the way we're looking at economics. So it is not something he's losing sleep about.
But that's the opposite of what his boss is saying. He went against his boss on that. And the late night TV talk show hosts were going at Mnuchin last night about him, and the night before, I think, too. When was it he said this? Because they were going after him and said that. Okay. He said, when is the president going to get rid of him? He said he may be history here pretty soon. He says the president needs people that are on his side, not the ones. The president makes a statement, and then this guy goes out and says the opposite. And so they were going after Mnuchin last night.
Well, you know, Mnuchin was on CNBC, I believe it was just today, okay, that he was on there, but he might have made the comments yesterday, but he was actually interviewed on, you know, CNBC yesterday or today. But so this is what he says. Mnuchin is in Indonesia. That's where the IMF and the World Bank are holding their annual meetings. And so maybe that's where he thinks he's rounding up buyers for the treasuries. You know, maybe he's over there. My best friend, Larry Kudlow, he told CNBC yesterday that the White House was working on a meeting between President Trump and the Chinese President Xi Jinping at the next month's G20 summit in Argentina. So the leaders of these, you know, two large economies are supposed to be getting together both in Washington and Beijing. I'm sorry. I'm talking about the trade war between Washington and Beijing. So kind of interesting.
It is interesting.
I don't think they'll use them as a bargaining chip with the tariffs. I think they got other things that they can use with the bargaining you know, for any of the trade discussions and so forth. Mnuchin also said that, you know, China does collect billions in interest payments from these bonds, and they do. And I don't know. It'll be interesting to see what happens. I guess the big percent or the percent of tariffs increase in January, so they don't have much time to work this out. And Mnuchin also said that the stock market plunge this week, it's just a natural correction. No worries. No worries. Don't worry. Be
no
happy.
Problem.
Don't worry. No problem.
Don't worry. Be happy.
And I just love it. You know, these multimillionaires and, you know, all these billionaires that come out and say, don't worry about it. This is just a natural correction. They're not going to be hurt by it.
You know, what they lose is a pittance compared to what they have. And those who are in the middle class and on the borderline of poverty, they stand to lose a great deal in those 401ks when those things drop like that. And it's not pretty.
No, it isn't. And is this a natural correction? I don't think we know yet where this is going to have to play out. You know, but what we're looking at is the world stock markets that are correcting. And you don't see much discussion on those. And the emerging markets, and you know, of course, when our stock markets are down 800 points and, you know, 500 points, and, you know, it's you know, we just pay attention to, you know, whatever's closest to us. So we'll see how this plays out, but particularly before the election, Beth. What do you think?
Do you think it will play out before the elections? I don't think anything's going to happen before the elections. They keep putting everything off. Yeah. Oh, it'll be after the elections. Oh, it'll be after the elections. So I don't know.
That's the way it usually is.
I think if it does take a big plunge again just before the elections, say that week or the day before or 2 days before, it could make a big difference. I think people will be scared. I don't know if they'll be scared enough to vote Democrat, but I think they'll be scared.
How do you think the elections are going to...
I actually think they're turning into the Republican side. I think they're going to go red. I think it's going to be close for a lot of them. But the Democrats pretty much shot themselves in the foot with this behavior over Kavanaugh. Whether you liked Kavanaugh or not, I believe he was innocent of everything that was being brought up against him, except for the drinking, which he confessed that he did. But, and of course, none of Congress ever drinks, do they? And I think Americans, whether you liked him or not, saw what was happening. Mm-hmm. And I read an article, and I can't remember his name, and I know I've got it piled up here in front of me, about a walkaway group. And it's the founder of the walkaway group. And they've walked away from the Democrat Party. And the behavior of the Democrat Party, such as what they did with Kavanaugh and some of the other things they have done, is the reason they've walked away. And the founder of that, and I know I can't find it when I'm looking in her, here it is, like, oh, it is right there. The founder of it is Brandon Straka. He's an openly gay former Democrat behind the recent movement to walk away from liberalism, says he has seen an uptick in the number of people who say they're walking away from the Democratic Party. I think they're shooting themselves in the foot. You know, we see them hiring protesters to help them protest. Well, if you got to hire protesters, you really don't have enough people backing you, do you?
You wouldn't think so.
You know, if you got to pay them, you know, and how committed are these paid protesters going to be if this thing rides out very long? You know, how committed are they going to be? I mean, I know they want their money. I can't believe that somebody is a professional protester. I think we're in the wrong business.
So what's he looking for? What's he looking for? Is he looking to create a new party? Is he looking to... walk away the Democrats? Where are they walking away to?
He says hundreds of people have reached out to him since this Justice Brett Kavanaugh battle started, and he began receiving more video testimonials and messages from people who say they will now vote Republican because of the smear campaign launched against Kavanaugh. Straka also talks about the first walkaway campaign march he will be hosting in Washington, D.C., and that's coming up October 26th through the 28th, and they tell you where to go to for more details. He says America Uncensored is where this is coming from. It's the Daily Caller program dedicated to political stories. But he He doesn't say what he's planning to do, but he's just helping people overcome their obsession with the Democrat Party and wake up and see what's really going on with them. And you and I both know that the Republicans, many of them, the majority of them are globalists and just as bad as the Republicans, as the Democrats. But the Democrats, I think we've got to take care of it one party at a time, get rid of them, and then go after the Republicans. That's what I think.
Well, I think I said this the other day on the program, Michael Bloomberg, he was actually registered as a independent. Mm-hmm. He's anything but an independent, but he was registered as an independent, and he changed to Democrat.
Wow.
And, the scuttlebutt is that perhaps, he might be throwing his name into the 2020 election. And you talk about
Bloomberg, isn't he the one that said he went to Vietnam and he didn't? Isn't that him?
I don't think that was Bloomberg. I don't know. Bloomberg is a very quiet,
Okay, then it's not him, because this guy is anything but quiet.
No, he uses his money. He uses his money. He goes through various local elections. He likes to use the state elections. He likes to go in and help promote the attorney generals. And I saw this when I lived in Pennsylvania, how he would support, with campaign funds and so forth, all these strong Democrats in these various races and so forth. And that's how he used his money. And that's, he was kind of, on the outside, but, he funded.
It was Blumenthal. It was Senator Blumenthal.
Oh, this is Bloomberg.
That's who I think. Bloomberg's totally different.
Bloomberg's dangerous. I think Bloomberg is dangerous. And they've been calling on him to run for president for several of the last elections. And, he always stepped down. But you'd have to think there's a reason why he changed from an independent to a Democrat at this point in time.
That is scary. That is scary.
That's... So that might
and
be something.
He's like another one that has the money. He doesn't need the money to.
Well, I'll tell you what. Yeah, and you're right. And he's got more billions than Trump does. That I do know. And he also has the financial news and other news programs to, he's got the media. So, and I think he could go toe-to-toe very easily. With Trump. Now, I'm not sure that the Democrats would embrace him, but I could see him going toe-to-toe with Trump.
Why wouldn't they embrace him? Because he's not one of them, kind of like Trump, he's not one of them?
Probably, yeah. He is an elite. He's the elite of the elite. And, just Bloomberg, I'm not going any further than that. But it'd be interesting.
It will be interesting to see what takes place.
Yes.
And it's going to be interesting in November what we're going to see. What did you think of Hillary's comment about no civility? No civility. There cannot be any civility. While we have one party fighting against everything we believe in. She didn't say which one.
I don't even know why they bother quoting her anymore.
She's still got money. And she's raising more money. I don't know why anybody pays to hear her speak. I mean, you can watch it on TV. That's enough. But if you really want to see her... I don't find her to be an arising. She doesn't give anybody encouragement. She doesn't pull any chains. I mean, she's not a good speaker.
I don't think I've listened to any
speeches. Of her rallies. When she was having the campaign rallies, you listened to enough of those to know that she wasn't really boosting up the crowd. She doesn't know how to do that. She can't relate to people.
No, she can't. But so I don't know. It's you know, they just keep quoting all of the, you know, I can't even believe they're quoting the Attorney General, who Eric Holder. I mean, what they say is
bizarre.
So bizarre and hateful, and
they don't kiss babies anymore, do they?
I guess not. We got a couple more minutes before we head into a break. I just want to, you know, bring back a little bit of, there was J.P. Morgan's and Jamie Dimon. You know, he comes out again and he's warning about geopolitical issues that are bursting all over the place. And, you know, and again, you know, you can still show a strong economy and so forth, he says, but there's a lot of things that are going on, and that could certainly be a danger to our markets. And inflation, you know, he sees going higher, and the increasing overseas geopolitical issues that are going on, which, of course, is the trade dispute, the unwinding of the bond purchasing programs by central banks all around the world. You have flare-ups across Europe, the Middle East. You have Latin America. You have Italy and Turkey. I mean, there's just things all over the place. And I always believe that those are the things that will really be the item that pushes that first domino over to start the whole list. So...
Well, it's I don't think we're really stable yet. I know they're trying to tell us we are, but I don't believe it is stable, and we'll just have to see what happens. I mean, we don't have any predictions, do you?
No.
You do. You did predict it correct. If President Trump won the presidency, it would be active. And I think we've seen a lot of activity.
Even beyond my wildest
dreams. You had no clue what you were predicting, did you?
Some of my predictions come true, but
definitely did.
Yes, and I think the next 2 years, regardless of who's in, who gets in and who stays, if there's changes, I don't think the next 2 years are going to be, I would think, even more overpowering.
Well, it's definitely going to be really bad if the Democrats do win in November. And I've never told anybody not to vote a third party, because I've never in my life, voted a straight ticket. But I'm considering that this year.
And there's our second break of the program today. We'll be right back, ladies and gentlemen.
On the line, I need to hear it just one more time. Oh, won't you tell me again? Oh, can you feel it? Oh, won't you tell me again tonight? Each and every heart it seems.
Food prices have increased over 40%. Energy prices have increased over 20%. Wheat and gas prices have increased over 70%. What's going to be next? Do you see these trends reversing or even stabilizing? All fiat currencies have always failed and collapsed their economies on their way down. The Roman Empire, China, France, Argentina, Finland, Mexico, Russia, and Zimbabwe all tried fiat currency and all collapsed into chaos. Meanwhile, the dollar has lost over 97% of its gold value since 1971, when an ounce of gold was valued at $35. If your assets are in paper, you are in danger. Protect your assets with gold and silver. Visit Discount Gold and Silver Trading at DGScoins.com. That's DGScoins.com, or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 800-375-4188. Protect yourself and your family.
We all know that Berkey Water Purification Systems are the most trusted name in water filtration. As an authorized Berkey dealer for over 6 years and serving thousands of satisfied customers, the Berkey guy offers amazing specials for Berkey water filtration systems. The Berkey light systems include a set of self-sterilizing and recleanable black purification elements that purify water by removing chlorine, pathogenic bacteria, cysts, and parasites to non-detectable levels and remove harmful chemicals such as herbicides and pesticides. Order the Berkey light system today, complete with two black Berkey elements for only $231, and the Berkey guy will ship your order free of charge. With the purchase of a Berkey light, the Berkey guy is also offering a set of fluoride and arsenic filters for only $39.99. That's over 30% off the retail price. Call the Berkey guy at 1-877-886-3653. That's 1-877-886-3653. Or order online at GoBerkey.com. That's GoBerkey.com today.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. You're listening to Financial Survival, brought to you by Discount Gold and Silver Trading, 1-800-375-4188. When we were heading into break, I saw this interesting headline, ladies and gentlemen. Thousands line up for zero down payment subprime mortgages. Didn't we just go through this before? Zero. That's zero down payment. They can have low credit scores, but have to go through an education session about the program. Okay? They're going to educate them. Submit all necessary documents from income statements to phone bills. So that's how you're going to get approved, is by your phone bill, to see if you paid your phone bill. And you know everybody pays their phone bills nowadays. They must go through counseling to understand their monthly budget and ensure that they can afford the mortgage payment. The loans are 15 to 30 year fixed with interest rates below market. So not only do they have no zero down pay, but they get below market. We just said the other day on this program, rates was, what, 5.05? And they get it at 4.5%? So again, why bother working hard? Why bother saving? Why bother? It seems like the less you do, the more you get. Hey, only in America, right?
Only in America.
I mean, what is wrong with that? You know, yes, it's okay to help, but that's what's everything. You know, it's unbelievable. But this company, it's a Boston-based brokerage, Neighborhood Assistant Corporation of America, or NACA, N-A-C-A. The event is one of several that's being held in cities across America. And Bruce Marks, he's the CEO of NACA. He says it's a national disgrace about the low amount of homeownership, mortgages for low and moderate income people, and for minority home buyers. In the loans that we've originated in the past 6 years, zero foreclosures. Because everything's going great. Okay. We're in this supposedly great economy, you know. So what happens when jobs begin to get lost? What do they have to back up? They said that Bank of America was, Bruce Marks were front and center during the subprime mortgage crisis, holding mass mortgage modification events across the country with banks and servicers. Bank of America was there then, and Bank of America is now with NACA, backing the program with $10 billion in mortgage commitments. So, ladies and gentlemen, if you have accounts with Bank of America, I'm not offering advice. I'm just, you know, read between the lines. It is a really amazing. Over 90% approval rate, meaning 90% of the people that go through this program get approved. 90%. They can have low credit scores, and I don't know. What do you think, Beth?
Well, No, I think you're right on. I was kind of going through my mind, you know, once again, it's the working man that's getting punished. So if they can give them a better mortgage, if they can give them a better percentage, why can't they give everyone a better percentage?
That's right.
Why can't it be across the board? If they can do it for one, why can't they do it for all? Make life easier for everybody.
Yes. Yes.
It doesn't make any sense to me. But
no, it doesn't. And you know, it's just another program that's going to fail. And anyway.
Well, they come up with these schemes or programs, whatever you want to call it, and then they either fail or people get trapped in them.
Absolutely.
You know, get trapped where, you know, there's no way out. But bankruptcy or something else or walking away, which is the same. I mean, somebody ends up suffering by the end of it.
Absolutely. So, do you have anything on your mind or heart today?
Well, you know, I'm concerned about our country, as I know you are. And I had an article that I was going to share on my show earlier today, and I ran out of time, and I'm not going to read it to you. But this is a gentleman that writes constantly a letter to the editor here in California, Missouri, I mean. And he was a Democrat. Years ago, he was a Democrat. I know him very well. He and my husband were good friends and even partners in construction for a while. And he was watching the Kavanaugh hearings get pretty heated up. He said, and then Kavanaugh told the story about his daughter and how she said, we need to pray for Miss Dr. Ford, for the lady. And he said he was like the Holy Spirit just struck him down, you know, because how important it is that we be praying. We need to pray for the wicked. We need to pray for our leaders. We need to pray for those. And we don't do that. And he was saying in his article, and like I said, I'm not going to read it to you. He said it's our duty. It's our duty to be praying for these people. And we slough off our duty all the time. And, you know, I thought that was... this guy is a really nice guy. He's very, very strong opinionated. He was in the Navy. He's a military guy. He was also wounded in battle. And so, you know, he's got a lot of wisdom. He's also a history buff. He was a history teacher, and as well as a trades teacher. And, you know, he comes up with some great stuff. And this one, he actually was speaking from his heart, you know, because he felt like that young girl, you know, he hadn't met her yet, you know, anything, but what her daddy said touched his heart, pricked his heart to, you're not doing what you need to be doing. And I would dare say that all of us are not doing what we need to be doing. We should be praying and asking for, repenting of our own sins, but asking for the Holy Spirit to work in this nation and on certain people as well as ourselves. It is our duty to do that, and we've been shirking our duty.
You know, I think so too. You know, we pray for those we care about, we love, we pray for, and it's you know, do we pray for those Democrats?
Mm.
Do we pray?
I know I yell at him a lot.
I know it.
He's sitting there and he's yelling and he's screaming and his veins are sticking up in his head. And then Kavanaugh says this about what his little girl said. And he said, I just like melted.
Yeah.
So with remorse of what I have not done. And, you know, he, like I said, he writes letters to the editor. He's a very opinionated person, but they're always very intelligent. He doesn't curse or do anything like that. And, you know, it's we do shirk our duty. You know, they took prayer away. They tried to take prayer out of the schools. They have as far as official praying. And they do these things for a reason, because unfortunately, the enemy knows the power of prayer better than we who claim we know the power of prayer.
All right. True.
Anyway, that was kind of on my heart. I didn't get to share that on my show. I ran out of time today. And if we're going into, as we're going into a weekend, I think all of us need to remember that, you know, regardless of what side of the aisle you're on, if you're a Christian, you need to be praying for this thing. Praying.
Thank you. I really appreciate that. I'm glad you shared that with us, because it's, you know, I think that part of his whole testimony, I think it moved a lot of people. And so,
you know, I raised five children, and they're all grown and have children now of their own. And when you sit and listen to a child pray, you can learn an awful lot, because they definitely pray from their heart. And you may think what they're praying for is kind of silly or funny, but it is from their heart. And that's what God wants from all of us.
Yeah.
From every one of us.
Absolutely.
He doesn't want us to pray in anger. Strike them down, Lord. Strike them down.
Get them out of here. When are you coming? No. Are you going to watch the interview with Melania this evening?
I am. I'm going to try to.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I, you know, I really like Melania. I know a lot of people don't. I like her shoes, but I really like Melania. And I thought what she was saying about bullying was quite true. She has taken the brunt of it. Nobody talked that way about some of the other first ladies. And I'm not just going to say Michelle Obama. There was other first ladies that didn't get treated like she does, and made fun of on the late shows. Here, these people that claim they're all for the immigrants. Foreigners, and then they make fun of her for her accent when she's reading books to children. It just, you know, it's just, she doesn't deserve that. And she's being a tough gal, and she's going to talk about her, what is it that she calls her campaign on, I can't think what she calls it.
I can't think of the name. Yeah.
I've got it here, but I get accused of making noise shuffling papers, so I won't.
Wow, who did that?
Somebody when we were on a break.
Oh, my.
But I'm going to do it anyway.
Must have been that caller.
It was that caller. Melania. There it is, my article on Melania. Be Best. That's what
it is.
Be Best.
That's what it is.
And it's the Be Best initiative, and she's trying, we need to teach our children to be respectful. You know, and that's one thing that I see is so bad. We don't, whether you liked President Barack Obama or you didn't like him, or President George W. Bush or Clinton or the current president, Donald Trump, the office should be respected. And there is no respect left for anyone. This yelling and screaming and hollering at people until they just have to leave a restaurant as they're going through airplane terminals and the streets in Portland, Oregon. That is not respectful. That is not First Amendment. It is disturbing the peace, for one thing. And when you're spitting on people and you're kicking or throwing things at their vehicles, that is destruction of property, and it is an assault. And that is not a peaceful demonstration. It is a mob. I did rename mob for you. It's malicious, obnoxious behavior. Because they don't seem to be able to define that lately, so I tried to do that for everybody.
How do people get to that point of behaving like that? I mean, yeah, we know they're paid and blah blah blah, but there's a lot of people that aren't being paid that are behaving like this.
And they didn't have a mommy.
How where do you get to this point? Don't people work?
Well, I thought about that, too. Are they the ones
that
were paid for?
You know, these are people who have too much time on their hands.
Well, we know the Antifa are. You know, it is going back, and I'm not trying to get all churchy on everybody, but it's a lack of God. It's a lack of God in our hearts.
I
mean, you know, he's the only one that gives us love. Yeah, we have human love, but human love comes with conditions. And but when you respect others, even if you disagree with them, you don't have to spit in their face and scream at them in a elevator or wherever else you're screaming at them, or bounding on the Supreme Court doors, demanding, because they're not getting a point across. They're just making noise. They have no reason or logic behind what they're doing. They're just angry noise, malicious, obnoxious behavior. That turns violent. It does turn violent very quickly.
Yes, and it just surprised. I mean, when you listened to what behind the doors of the Senate on Saturday. It's just like, and I said this on the earlier show, why didn't they just remove these people to begin with? I mean,
I think they should.
That they should have.
Portland,
yeah.
Oregon. They need to be arrested. They need to be taken off away and fined.
Yes. Absolutely. So it's, it's just amazing. But these are all signs of the time and where we're at as a nation. And what happens when something really bad is going to go wrong? How are these people, what are they going to do then?
Going to break into your homes. They're going to break into the stores. They're going to do whatever they can to survive because that's what they are. They're going to stand in the streets and scream for help. We've seen that before. They do not know how to take care of themselves.
They're going to
They don't know how to cope with life at all.
Mm-mm. And there's a lot of them.
Well, the Penguins have been saving their money. They're going to be okay. But the others, they're in trouble.
But we're going to be living through some very dangerous times, ladies and gentlemen. So make sure, you're prepared in all areas. You know, your homes and your safety and, of course, your money. We haven't had a really bad day for a very long time. And when we did go through difficult times, like the Great Recession of 2008, they did bring it back. They brought it back by debt, put you and me deeper and deeper in debt.
Yeah, they did.
You know, they used our money. They always use our money. And where are we today? We're worse
off, and they're better off.
Yes.
So it doesn't take a genius to figure that one out.
Nope.
You know, we have a Senate race here in the state of Missouri, and there's all kinds of, oh my gosh, the advertisements, the commercials, they're just terrible. But Claire McCaskill has been senator for 12 years.
I hear the music.
And we're not better off.
No, we're not.
But we have to look at.
But we're out of time. It's Friday, so we're better off.
It's
a weekend. So, ladies and gentlemen, we'll be back on Monday. So, until then, be safe, good night, and God bless.
Thank you. Thank you,
Matt, for joining me.
You're welcome.
And still, there never seems to be a single penny left for me.
That's too bad.